In late 2014, I was a graduate student studying process engineering in Hamburg, Germany. Before finishing my master's degree, I decided to go abroad on an internship in order to gain some experience, not only in terms of technology, but also to broaden my horizon culturally. I had been traveling a lot across Europe already, but until then, I have never left my home continent. So I could have gone to England, Sweden, or France, but I wanted to take the opportunity to experience something totally different and to get in touch with people from a very different part of the world. So I decided to go to Ghana, where I was staying with a local family and working in the fuel supply industry for a couple of months. My stay in West Africa itself was an experience of a lifetime. I had the impression that the people I met were happy and grateful for what they had. Compared to Germany, Ghana looks poor and littered and somehow off the wall. But the people have food and peace and music. I really fell in love with the warmth and serenity of the Ghanaians. But one thing about Ghana stuck in my head from an article I'd read in a German magazine a couple of weeks prior. The article focused on Abo Bloshi, that is a slum and unauthorized electrical waste dumping site considered one of the top 10 most polluted places on planet Earth. The whole country has tremendous problems with waste because there's no central garbage collection. I heard from the locals that they call Abo Bloshi Sodom and Gomorrah, and the media uses the term toxic city. I learned that more than 40,000 people are in danger of serious health implications. One day, I met Al Hassan, a guy who co-founded an initiative for waste recycling in Ghana named Recycle Up Ghana in Kumasi, the second largest city of the country. I asked Al Hassan about Abo Bloshi. After he told me how bad the situation was, I asked him if I could go there to get an impression myself. A couple of days later, Dave, who is a friend of Al Hassan, took me to Abo Bloshi, that is located at a river outfall in Accra, the capital of Ghana, where I was staying by that time. Going there alone would have been too dangerous. The first thing I saw was smoke columns. I saw people burning down plastic items, old car tires, and insulation material of refrigerators to recover copper from electrical appliances and power cables. Children, not older than 10 years, were standing next to the toxic smoke columns feeding the fires. They wore flip-flops and torn clothing. A little bit further, young men were opening the housings of electrical devices and batteries with hammer and chisel. Some questions came to my mind, and I asked Dave to talk to one of the workers on my behalf. We went to a young guy who was sitting on a stool breaking open devices. Dave asked him my questions and translated the answers of the man from the local language to English. "Why are you disassembling those devices?" I wanted to know. "I opened them to get the copper and aluminum," the man explained. I asked him, "Can you feed yourself and your family from this work?" He answered me, "You know, on a good day, I can earn a couple of dollars." "And isn't your work dangerous?" I asked. "We sell our health. We can get more money here than anywhere," was his answer. I saw that this sympathetic man had no perspective of a better future, while I would go back to my pleasant life soon. I really felt sorry for him. Most of the workers live in the slum on the other side of the lagoon or in small huts on the dumping itself. They have no or bad school education and no professional training. The only way to make a living is recycling of valuable materials using primitive methods. A barefooted woman came our way. She carried a little baby on her back and a bowl on her head. She walked through the mud and cheddar, smoke and dust, selling snacks and cigarettes to the workers. Near the lagoon that is contaminated with lead, cadmium, arsenic, phosphorus, and dioxin, cows were browsing the waste in search of food. I had a headache. I took a Trotro, that is kind of a shared van, back home. Once I got there, I took a shower. I felt sick and frustrated. I knew that the reason for this health hazard and severe environmental pollution is illegal transport of electrical waste from industrialized countries, especially in Europe, to the poorest regions of the world. There, at the poor end of the supply chain, people risk their health and pollute their environment to make ends meet. The rich make the filth. The poor live with the filth. I then thought a lot about guilt and responsibility. I am a part of the first world society and economy that is responsible for what is happening in Abu Bloshi or any other place in the world where nature is exposed to waste or oil or other pollutants for prosperity reasons. Much of the electrical waste coming from Central Europe is shipped to West Africa from the port of Hamburg, my home city. I realized it could be my TV, my refrigerator, or my computer that is disassembled by the people at the waste dumping. In the evening, I called a friend of mine. I told him about my thoughts. You know, in a couple of months, I will finish my studies and be an engineer. As an engineer, I can and should contribute to advanced, safe, and eco-friendly solutions. Whenever it comes to an environmental disaster, engineers often play a very important role. First, in the technological development that eventually leads to problems, and second, in the response and mitigation in the case of an accident. Think of the Deepwater Horizon blowout in April 2010. Oil production for our industries and our transportation, for short, for our prosperity, led to a huge man-made environmental pollution. Or think of the nuclear disaster in Fukushima in March 2011. What a catastrophe for the environment and the people. Before my friend could reply, the connection was gone due to one of the common blackouts. But none of those events I was talking about to my friend and that I knew only from the news were as mind-changing as my visit of the toxic city Abu Bloshi in 2014. It was a direct, personal, first-hand experience. I have seen the mess. I have smelled the smoke. And I have met the people. When I started my studies, I didn't want to become an engineer to make the world a better place, but just because I was interested in physics, technology, and innovation. Nowadays, I think differently about it. Now I'm a part of the oil-spill research community. We are investigating possible consequences of oil production and potentially oil spills. We try to gain knowledge that can help to prevent people and the environment from damage. And we can also give input for policymakers and, in case of a new spill, responders. I have a strong feeling that our work is meaningful.